my baby make it hot. Ride the cop till you hit the spot. Tell my baby make it hot.
Doing the doggy style. Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yay, bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yo. Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yay, bow, wow, yippee-yo,
And we're back for another week of Naked Selma, Raw Consciousness Radio. Professor Val here. You know, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, this has become a time of intimate relations with me and our listeners, since Dr. Mark is usually a few minutes late. Getting to like this, you know, it's cozy, don't you think? So, what do we have going on tonight on the show? Well, we have a very interesting guest. Her name is Anna, and she is she's from Russia. She's got a really neat accent. She studied parapsychology, healing, and mysticism, and she's a member of the American Massage Therapy Association. She teaches Tantra. So the Tantra master or mistress teaches this sacred, loving, connecting on all levels kind of thing. It's real neat. Tantra, she calls it a psychic intuition of human sexuality exploration. So she's going to be a really interesting guest. I've talked to her a lot this week, and got to say, I like her. She's pretty neat. And Dr. Mark has not met her yet. So tonight will be his first connection with her. And I think it's going to be good. So what's been going on this week? Did you hear about the polygamy stuff going on in Texas? I don't know. I don't know what to even think anymore. It's crazy. They've got to do something about these little sects of people going around doing nasty things to little kids under the guise of religion. Makes me kind of want to puke. Dr. Mark, are you here?
Yes, I am.
Hello.
I am feeling saucy at the moment.
Oh, I'm pretty saucy myself. Shall I replay the theme for you?
Parcheesi, sure. Why not?
All right.
Get my head around this whole show thing.
Yeah, I'm actually going to lower because it's always so freaking loud. Hold on, here it goes.
Tell my baby make it hot. Ride the cop till you hit the spot. Tell my baby make it hot.
Doing the doggy style. Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yo, bow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yo.
Ah, there you go.
All right, there's the update.
Uh-huh.
A beautiful thing here at 9:03.
Nice.
Well, they'll blow this game, but I'm just it was nice to just see them score after we start the show.
Don't put it out there.
Well, that's next week's show. It's freaking reality. All right.
It's the week after.
Oh, 23rd. Okay. Who the heck's on next week? I don't even know.
Oh, next week is what's her name? Hold on, I'll tell you.
Right.
Okay then. Where the heck is my screen? God.
We're organized. Another sterling beginning.
Well, look.
Exactly.
They're used to us. They like us this way. We're
all 12 of us.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't you people have friends? That this show is good.
That's right.
Tell a friend.
Carissa Starr. She's
her.
Week.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh, that's
going to
be.
Yes. The Earthbound Misfit blog that she has is
good. Yes. Eco-Earth
really,
Mama.
Yeah. Yeah, she's pretty interesting. And then, the week after that is the 23rd. That's when we're going to have Dr. Joe on.
Joe Bleep.
That's right.
Freaking Joe Bleep.
Yep.
So between watching teenagers get pummeled on YouTube and protesters attack the Olympic torch, I'd say the world is pretty much as is.
Yeah, it's pretty vile.
Well, no, not really. Compared to what planet? How many planets have you been on?
As far as I know, just this one, but my 20s are a blur.
Oh, okay, well, I don't even look at it as a basis of comparison anymore, but we're stuck here. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Boozy, boozy, bop, city bop.
That's pretty much it. Oh, I got to play this for you because my brigade was here, as you know, a little while ago.
Oh, yeah. How'd that go?
Well, they had an internet thing to share with me, too, on the YouTube. And I can't understand all the Italian, but it is funny to watch. So I will. It's only about a minute, so.
Well, hit it up.
Mannaggia la Madonna, mi sto cacca sotto. Mi ha raccattato la cincia di carta igienica, porco Dio, porco. Lo sapeva che l'aveva accattato a trotolo. Tu sta qua a fare scema, a cantare, a ballare. Si proprio un imbecille, sta testa di cazzo, minchione. Ma che c'è già famo, la puti pure in realtà. Vogliamo la mattina, lo deve stare le cose da triste. Se non lo domandiamo a sfuggire, che cazzo, io non darò un cartigiano in dalla macchina. Qui si caga sempre male, ma potevo dire che dalla fine è andato quazzo, non è. Ti hai proprio ragione, qui si caga solo male, proprio una testa di cazzo. Porco Dio! Mannaggia la Madonna, come cazzo già va a me, culo in culo, tengo un culo in culo, porco Dio, come cazzo già va, porca Madonna, che cazzo ci ballo tu, imbecille!
Aspetta, mo' fino alla mazzocca, te la schiaffo un culo a cui ci pesca se casa leva, o no? Ma perché non posso ballare poi alla fine? Dai, gira un po', che mo' facciamo un bel ballo.
E balla, basta, indefichete!
Oh, man.
There you go. If you understand any of that, it's pretty bad.
I understood a few words. They weren't good.
No.
They're the words that the Italian parents will say in front of the kids so that they don't know.
And that was a flashback to the 70s for me when my grandmother would just go off on me. But if you want to see the images, which are equally funny, it's Hippo space INCAZZATO in your YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And let the festivities begin with the hippo and the dog there. Pretty funny. Yeah, I figured we'd open with that because we have basically a foreign language experiment tonight, speaking the language of Tantra.
That's right. We're going to do that and speak clearly and slowly.
Yeah, like I do all the time.
Yeah, you have to slow it down because she's requested that.
Slow it down. Has she pre-screened the shows? Is that the deal?
No. She tried to get on last week, but of course, you know, technical difficulties and such.
Uh-huh.
But she just said it's a lot easier if somebody talks slow so she can follow along.
We'll get into her vibe, I'm sure, without much effort.
Yeah, she's
Don't have to kick me twice.
That's right. She's pretty neat. I was just talking to her.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we will be going that direction in a couple of minutes. I think we might want to play a commercial to bridge the gap, if you have one handy.
Yeah, I might. Let's see what I got here. Hold on. Let's see. All right. Here we go. Oh, why is that so low?
Do me a favor and answer this question.
How will your life be different and better a month from now?
There's ways to guess at it.
You could call a psychic or consult the oracle.
Or you could
follow the moon.
That's right, Sapiens. Us radicals at Naked Soma have taken our act on the road with you.
Just go to the site somaspace.org and click on the link at the top of the homepage.
That'll take you to the page of our brand new 30-day emotional makeover audio program called
The Somatic Companion.
Listen, we know you're fed up with humanity, so we designed a program to help you rise above it all.
Tell them what they get to know.
Everyone craves the same basic things from life at 6 years old as you do at 66 years old. The unseen force that binds us to our behavior is our emotions.
We've assembled 15 years of cutting-edge research into a user-friendly series of 7 to 10-minute daily audios that help you develop something called positive physiology.
Mm-hmm. And by riding the waves of positive physiology, you'll naturally reconnect with your self-extreme, the appetite for change.
It's moon over matter.
Blast off is a click away. Wow. Always funny, the fit.
I I just can't get enough of them.
Well, like I said, we were young back then. We were so innovative, so spry, so hopeful that people would actually buy the damn thing.
Listen, people, you know what? You need to buy it. It's such good stuff.
You know, we've done everything but individually go to your homes and put it on your iPods.
I've had real estate offices calling to see if we would do trainings because this stuff can apply to any situation.
And by stuff, what do you mean, Val? Because they're going to be new to the show.
Oh, yes. Hello, newbies.
Yeah, right.
Well, we do a little something-something.
Mm-hmm.
That we call a couple of different things with the four domains and what else we call it? It's the social rhythm or the development of social intuition. And basically, you see somebody new, you know where you are, who you are, and what you are, and then you figure out what they are in about, I don't know, 4 freaking seconds. You don't have 4 seconds? And then it's like an instant rapport.
Well, your brain's doing it without you anyway. So
yeah,
you have this social nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
See, when you're born, your brain says, I need to depend on at least one of these people out here to feed and clothe me. So right away, you have this process called neuroception that says, as my brain hooks into your brain, my brain begins to develop because it starts to mirror and starts to get into harmony with the brains around it. And it expands, not just brains, it limits the brains, it's all the physiology. It's all one big happy dance.
Mm-hmm.
We affectionately call it harmonic awareness if we're in New Hampshire.
That's right. Oh, you know what? It's time for the diving horn.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, did you put any of John Adams on here?
I don't think I did.
Oh,
I don't know. I do have some on the drive here. I could probably play it from there. But
yeah, just give us a John Adams before we get to it. You know, as a shout out to our New England audience.
Yeah, I don't know what I have here. Let me see if I can. I might click something that's not exactly what I'm looking for, which wouldn't be unusual. Let me see what I have. Yeah. Oh, well, I do have this. Wait a minute. Oh, God.
Yeah, there you go. Play that again.
All right,
perfect.
Hold on. Here we go.
This is a revolution, Dad. We're going to have to offend somebody.
There you go. All right.
You know, I was driving back from the bank today, and the John Adams advertisement on the bus was going the other direction. And I'm sitting there, and I just felt this like, I'm so in this guy's hologram. He's driving by, as Paul Giamatti, as you know, is playing it on HBO. This unbelievable. I will buy it, and I will play it like the Zapruder film when it's out, this seven-part series.
Mm-hmm.
And he drives by, and my first inclination, I just rolled down my window. I'm going to open up a window. And, of course, the people at the bus stop.
They have no idea what to
do. Mildly entertained and aghast at the same time.
Oh, God.
All right, I believe Anna has arrived.
So let's
in the
give
sky.
Her the horn.
Yep.
And there we go.
Hello.
Hey, Anna. How are you?
Hi, how are you guys?
Oh, we're good.
Hi,
yes,
I haven't met you yet, Anna. I'm Dr. Mark, and welcome to my cloud.
Oh, thank you. A lot of fun there. I already hear. A lot of fun with you guys.
Yeah, we're a little loopy this time of night.
Yeah,
you should hear the show we do off the air at around 11 or 9, or midnight. It's even better.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
What time, midnight?
Well,
yeah,
we stay on the phone.
We just keep talking,
and you know, it gets a little crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Good crazy is good. Good crazy is good. Always.
Yes, it is.
Pretty much the show is art therapy. So.
That's right.
So you're on Staten Island somewhere, huh?
Oh yeah, I'm always live some kind of weird places.
Okay. Well, let's give a little history of you. We know your name is Anna. We know you're from Russia. We know that you are into the Tantra, but we don't know much else about your story. So when did you get to the United States, first of all?
Okay. You mean you need my whole story?
The easy part. The one that you can do in like a minute. So you were born in what part of Russia?
Oh, I'm from Moscow.
Okay, Moscow. Okay, that's like being from New York. Okay.
Yes, I come to America 20 years ago.
Okay.
And in Russia, I did healing. when I was 20 years old. It was my natural ability. And I did diagnostic from photo picture. I did diagnostic from telephone. I did distance healing. I did contact healing. When I come to America, 20 years ago, not many people believe in a healing. Now, more people start believe in healing, and I did start massage, that people understanding more of the language of touch, and it's taken me over 20 years to come to the Tantra, because I think it's Tantra is very important subject to everybody. A Tantra for a long time, 1,000 years ago, Tantra.
Wow. But, so for people that have maybe just heard that word once or twice, because it gets confused with the Kundalini and all the other fun stuff, what is Tantra as an art, as a discipline, as a modality? Because it really all the United States would ever know about it is what Sting was up to. So what is the Tantra?
Just give
a working definition here.
Yeah, Tantra is, I mean, you cannot explain Tantra in one word, because Tantra is so big subject. It's like, if you ask me, what does universe mean? I said, okay,
wow.
Universe is, I can talk with you 20 years, 24 hours, and everybody understand Tantra different. My Tantra based on Anna's therapy, because it's my session is Anna's therapy. And I believe I in past life I live in India. I have many past life. I was man. I was women. I was one time. I was very bad man. I raped the women, and this time I come in body of woman. And I was belly dancer in my past life. I feel this when I was 12 years old, and probably this information through my spirit came to this time, and transformed what I am now. My Tantra not really based on Hindu religious, because I'm not a religious person. I went through different religious. I learned different religious. I learned Jewish. I was Jewish religious before. I for 1 year I wear the wig, but it's not my way. I out of the religious. I want to understand more, because any religious kind of controlling, but from every religious you can get information.
So let me get this straight. In this life you were Jewish, or this is the past life you were Jewish?
No, in this life I born through the family Jewish, but I am international.
Oh.
I am international. I am, you know, I don't see in people color of skin. I don't see language of their talk, because it's very important mind communication, heart communication. For me, it's nation not exist, because spirit have no nation, spirit have no gender. Spirit travel from time to time in woman body, in animal body, in plant body, and spirit has no language, no color, no religious.
Is Tantra more akin to like when the acupuncturists speak of the Tao? Is Tantra sort of something akin to that it is consciousness within all these different realms, all the way up from, you know, the stars to the sidewalk? I mean, is it that basically, is it that big of a concept, or is it something that is an energy within all this stuff? I mean, I'm just trying to compare it. Is it more like chi, or is it more like the Tao in terms of the way that it's sort of set up? Because I'm just trying to understand Tantra from, from basically a Westerner's point of view. We want to know what this stuff is.
It's, you know, when we talk chi or energy, it's same. It just come from different language.
Right.
It's
okay.
Just Chinese people use language chi. It's Hindu prana. Mm-hmm. In English, it's energy. In Russian, it's different. But it's all the same. Different between one energy to other energy is frequency of energy.
So is Tantra along those lines? Is Tantra part of that whole lexicon of different cultural names for the same thing, or is it more like when you talk about the Tao, it's the relationship of opposites and yin and yang, and it's a bigger fish, and then the chi is inside that flowing? So I'm just trying to figure out, because most Westerners, I got to tell you, we're very superficial here, in case you haven't noticed, and the Tantra would be akin to Kundalini, and then that would then be akin to dealing with things that are sexual energy nature, which is much, much more, to a Westerner's mind, the payoff, I guess, for doing anything to do with Tantra is that it's going to improve my spirituality through my sexuality. That's really what the working awareness, I guess, if you walked around and grabbed the average woo and said, what do you think of the Tantra? They would just kind of smile like a little Cheshire cat, and they'll go, oh, well, the Tantra's good. Because it basically is combining that extreme realm between the spiritual experience of yourself and the sexual being that you are. You know, and that's what I'm trying to get at. Is that what we're talking about here?
When you talk about sexuality,
mm-hmm.
it's different level of sexuality, also same like different frequency of energy. Some energy we can feel it, some energy we cannot attach it. In different people have different sensation. We look same. We look one head, two hands, two legs. Some have body of woman, some have body of man, but it's spirit have, like I say, no gender.
Right, and that I understand.
And sexuality, if we talk about sexuality between man and woman, it's between in man, masculine is plus, active, and feminine is minus, passive. But this is also when we talk about on the low frequency, because body have low frequency, spirit have high frequency. You can have sex between man and woman, and
mm-hmm.
it can be intercourse, or it can be just meditative. Intercourse is also meditative. People just, you know, start to look on sex like a sport. It's also good. And everything what people enjoy to do, it's everything good. Or the beauty of Tantra, that every level of what you have, this is a beautiful. Some people do like sport. You say, okay, I build the muscle, I lost my weight.
I heard you just call sex a sport. I think that's probably the best. Wow, combining everything I like.
Yeah, I mean, in other type of sexuality is when not necessarily, it's also different. Many, we can talk a long, long time. Sexuality is for different purpose. One sexuality for making babies. Continued creation, right.
Yeah, I don't like that one. Go on
to
the next one.
Yeah, but
there are options.
I want to steer this
to Professor Val for a second, because, you know, as both a professor of psychology and also a working woo,
yeah.
and her take on things comes from the pagan perspective. So is everything she said, does that have a translation into Paganese that I would understand?
I mean, the
sexuality part. I mean, you guys. I mean, this is something I'm really trying to get past all the translations to try to get to what is the common ground, because in the Semitic world that I kind of hang out and view things from, you're constantly having this experience of yourself in different dimensions of consciousness, whether you're awake, asleep, dreaming, or making it up as you go, and when it comes to all these maps, and there's zillions of these maps out there, most people are sort of predetermined, but they're sort of kind of predisposed to go to the map that most fits them on a felt sense level. Not so much their head, but it's more how it's like trying on clothes. You know, it's comfortable to wear that map. Like the tantric map might be more comfortable on certain people, and then the other ones you mentioned might be more able to kind of get into under someone's skin. So when someone thinks of themselves in terms of their sexual identity and all these other things that go on as you go through development, what age would someone, and this is more for Val to go back and forth a little bit with Anna here, what age would someone start learning about Tantra as they develop? Would they start as a child? Would they start as a teenager? And I just want, from Val's perspective, you know, with the Paganese, you know, when would someone pick up on the pagan rituals in terms of understanding the relationship between sex and spirit?
Oh,
if you guys can settle this for me, because I really want to get this down.
All right. Well, with paganism, sexuality is actually seen as... Oops. Computer just fell on the floor.
She falls over. Heavy topic.
Jeez, I tell you. It's sexuality is part of the pagan rituals in that it's a form of fertility, and everything that the pagans do is about being fertile and giving back to things and putting out the positive energy to bring things to you. and sexuality is part of that. So the symbols in paganism, of course, being like the penis for the god and some sort of vagina for the goddess that you could have on your altar during ceremonies and stuff. It's just a matter of balance. That's the other big thing. It's a matter
of... And the pagans seem to face more towards the earth and more towards, you know, the experience you have out here where some of these other disciplines get into this big, you know, abstract thing. And it's more about the heavens and other realms, and it just seems like...
well, we try to get there, too.
Yeah, I understand, but you seem to start at one point.
Right, and then
well,
the other
thing is...
thing
here.
When
hang on a second.
Okay, go ahead. Ugh, him and his sports. Jeez. Oh, God.
There you go.
Know, I don't have to take that from my husband. I got to have it with him. Jeez.
The Dow of hockey.
You and your freaking sports.
just... You're talking sex, I give you sports. I'm balancing
things. That's right. That's right. The other thing with paganism and sex is sometimes it's misused. So you have to be careful going to a ritual and then finding out that the great rite is actually done there at the ritual, meaning that the person who is the god and goddess in the ritual are actually having sex there and then asking others to join in under the, you know, auspice of this being some spiritual sexual thing. You know what? If you ever go to a ritual and somebody's pulling that on you, you got to go. You have to leave. It's not done in pure thought.
Well, this is, again, this is some probably something to bounce off of Anne a little bit, but like Jewish mysticism, you know, all this stuff has been, you know, with Madonna running around, that got into, you know, those little secret little esoteric circles. What age does someone qualify to sort of get their chops with this stuff, because it always seems like there's a rite of passage where they kind of let you know a little more, let you know a little more as you go. And I just wonder, with Tantra, would someone start learning this stuff like they would learn, you know, meditation, yoga, things like that early on, and Tantra becomes just another level, or is it something that's there from the beginning?
You know, if you talk about what age need to learn about, I think it you need to learn as soon as possible. Problem is that information transformed through the different religions like Christianity. Christianity already become different Christianity that was in Jesus' time. You know,
right.
It's not already just Christianity because Jesus brought it everything open. People who open to mysticism, they're more open talk about every part of nature. Now Christianity or other religions, they try to hide everything. And if I believe that about sexuality, children need to know as early as possible on the level of what they need to know. Like during the time when like girl like 12 years and boy 13 years old, when it's puberty, the body every time change. When you baby, you have one time chemical go, and when you become 12 and 13, it's different. It's become already prepared for making baby on future, continue the life. And when his children don't know about sexuality, but this energy very strong, it's like wild tiger energy. And if children not educated, it start to hit them. What is school does? School does very easiest way and feed the whatever who produce a condom and give the children condom. First of all, condom, a lot of them give the itchy and irritation, and it's not the best way what to give knowledge for children. You need to learn to teach children that this is natural, it's normal, and this is very strong, powerful energy. This is energy for reproduce the babies, and other way for pleasure. But, you know, our private place, like Hindu call yoni, woman place, and man place, it's lingam. It's not shame place. It's not sin place. We cover this not because it's sin and shame. It's a sacred temple. And sacred temple, you cannot give to everybody. You invite to your home people whom you trust. And girl need to be with a boy or whatever they need to trust each other, trust mentally, first of all, and learn how to work with this energy through the meditation, through the spirituality. Because
I hear you. I think for the most part, when you're standing on North American soil, you're dealing with a lot of baggage, especially from the Puritan origins that we have here. So sex is bad. Sex is, you know, we came from, you know, the pilgrims over here that were persecuted because there were no fun. So they said, get the hell out of here, we'll beat you up. And they came over here, and they basically, that's the culture that really is in the American psyche. Everything to do with your physical body and sex in general is looked at as something that is to be sort of kept in private. And our bodies are the self-consciousness, I guess is the word, that the average North American safe walks around with is way, way more fraught with the things you just talked about, with sexual shame and almost like a way to kind of disconnect from the body, where other cultures, I mean, forget about it. It's party time. So I don't know what's better or worse. I just know when you're dealing with a Westerner, I mean, you've got every single one of us comes in a, you know, a little wrapper called everything that from the navel to the knees is basically applications only. You know, so I'm just saying, to get Tantra to be something that people can appreciate or someone that they can experience it personally, how do you find working with Americans compared to Europeans or other cultures? Do you find Americans have a resistance to it?
You know, first of all, I came from the Russia where it was communist party. I don't think it's communist party. It was kind of fascist country. They control
right. What
you need to think. When I come to America 20 years ago, it took me time to learn about this culture. For 5 years, I could not thinking. I stopped thinking. And later, my mind started to learn about culture. It's, you know, when you talk about American, or you talk about any country, it's people. It's not about, you know, like you say, it's one Jewish person not good. You can say everybody Jewish bad, or some, you know, Arab is bad. You can say all Arabs is bad. You know, people is people. In every culture is beautiful people, and people not aware. Some people have communicate through your mind, and with some people you cannot. Some people stay in one place, and you cannot stay with them because they drain you down. They not because they're bad, they're good people. They're people all good. Problem is that people have so much fear of life and not understanding them. You can understand killer also. If somebody kills somebody, it's a reason for this. You need to understand what is problem and decide the problem, not just, you know, to judge this person. You need to transform person, and we... All problem like war, all anger, jealousy, come from fear. And nothing to fear, because we come to this planet for a while and we die. I call this, we go home. And everything happened for a reason. The problem is we disconnected with universe, disconnected with ourselves. We have no time. Especially in America, people so busy to make all stuff material, people don't have time for themselves to talk to Creator. Or people talk to Creator, but not aware, they need listening. If you ask some question, you need time to listening. What are you talking for? You're talking to get the answer. And in Jewish religious, in all religious, people just talking. They take somebody book that's written 1,000 years ago, some poetry who somebody wrote, and they're repeating every day same, and people really don't know what they talk about. Somebody just trained them to talk. But you can write your book, your Bible, from your heart to the Creator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand. I like I said, I agree with you in principle. I just think in practice, because there's that fear, because there's all those disconnects, because there's all that... sort of a culture of speed and now and material form, and Tantra is the opposite. I mean, one of the first things that when I first came in contact with it was back in college, was that we're not going to be touching. I said, wait a minute. everything I ever did sexually involved a lot of touching, and it was much more about feeling energy and being able to linger in the space that we normally ignore between us and other people, and to let everything come into harmony, you know, chakra-wise and all that stuff, and let your breathing actually be the language of communication, the language of touch. And when you're actually in the moment of being able to breathe into and out of someone else's awareness like that, there's a sort of it's a kind of a natural high, I guess you call it. And then nothing else that follows after that can sort of do it justice. I mean, it literally is like having like a second attention or something opening up that before that you couldn't even predict what it would feel like, and then you're like, well, wait a minute, why didn't I know about this all along? So I just think from the outsider's perspective, from your perspective coming into this culture, which is predicated on speed, we don't like things that are slow and deliberate and fraught with a lot of icky feelings. We like things that are fast, visual, external, objective, solid, so that we can basically use things quickly. Because from the beginning, I mean, when you give a little kid blocks and stuff like that, it's all about doing stuff, human doing as opposed to human being. And I think what you're saying with this Tantra stuff is you get back into an awareness of what it's like to simply just be. I mean, one of the things, my son, the only thing you got to learn the first, 15, 20 years of your life is how to sit still. And if you can't sit still, then your attention never really stops kind of like monkeying around with you, and you don't get the full experience. You just always feel like you're off balance. And I think what you're suggesting here is that in working with you and doing the things that you're sharing, that people would get that payoff. They would know what it's like to simply just go back to being still in the moment and letting the feelings that surface have their say, so to speak.
Absolutely. When you come back, when you ask, how you about America, I think it's, American people, Russian culture is rude. Intelligent people, educated people, but itself, it's kind of developed for I don't know how many years. It's kind of rude culture because a lot of intelligent people was after 1917, after revolution, a lot of intelligent was killed, and during the Stalin, also intelligent was they was killed. Because it's government, any government, they don't like thinking people. They want control. And here, certainly, it's free country, but certainly also a lot of control here, a lot of misunderstanding. And but anyway, in America, people more softer. It's kind of different. You need to work with American people in different frequency of energy, because in Russia, if they don't like you, you can see they don't like you. They tell you, you can see by face. In America, people don't like you, but they smile.
There you go. So we're just as miserable as the Russians, but we seem more pleasant about it. Okay.
There you go.
It's when
we talk about culture, but I think every person is in the world is very individual, and its whole world is around this individual. And I think problem is it's in sexuality, in the politics, because Tantra is also, when people come to me, we start to talk about politics also. Tantra, but awareness. First of all, when people come to me, say, who are you? And people say, oh, I'm Mike, or I'm Peter, I work this, I do this. I said, if you ask me who I am, I don't know who I am. I am traveled from time to time to understand who am I. You see, people sometimes, but every answer what I ask, who are you, people answer, and I accept every answer is right, because it's what it's people world. But really, who we are, what is inside of us crying, what is inside of us anger, and what is brain, what is mind? Because I explain people also that brain is computer that belong everything, taping, video, audio taping, puzzles. It's during the time we born and time we go home. We call the diode time go home. Mind is above of the brain. Mind is not really physical substance.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's brain and mind is a little bit different. Through the mind, it transforms thoughts to the brain, from the brain, transforms all like sensation, emotional sensation, change a chemical in the body through the nerve system, and so on. And who we are, first of all, what I explain people, we have two two basic parts, is body and spirit. Body belongs to the earth and made it from five elements of the earth. Spirit is alien, it's astronaut. Spirit came from other dimension. Somebody beyond us sent us here for some purpose and give us body. Same like astronaut go to other planet, our body not belong to other planet. And astronaut develop the old system that they can for a few hours or months to be another planet. And they come back to Earth because they have not enough energy. Same, our spirit, when we go to sleep, our body shut down in a certain way. Our spirit go home, recharge the energy, and come back to body. It's how body function. When we eat not, we eat just for body, develop the element for the body. Spirit don't need this food of Earth. Spirit need the energy from other dimension, what spirit come from.
My spirit better be nimble and quick, because I don't sleep that much, so...
Oh, good, you recharge very quickly.
I
need to recharge longer.
It's like hitting the space bar when you come out of the screensaver for me. You know, but I can sleep as deep as any other fish, but not for very long. But I'm fascinated with this because if you haven't been listening to the show, we're talking with Anna, and her work is. Let's see, what's your website called again? I had it here a second ago.
Yeah, it's www.annastherapy.com, A-N-N-A-S, therapy.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm making sure we got that across to anybody. And it's on the, I think, isn't it on the site, Val?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It should be on our site, yes.
Everybody that's listening to this has had, you know, some kind of funky massage, some kind of funky experience, you know, with the oils and all that stuff. But what Anna's sharing is much, much more about applying the philosophy that all those disciplines deliver to you as a service. And I think that's sometimes lost in the Pilates world and the yoga world, where you get the meditation but you don't get the yoga, or you get the yoga but you don't get the meditation. We're very kind of cafeteria Catholics around a lot of these things, and we sort of Americanize them or customize them to our own needs, because I think basically we don't have any payoff for going into those deep realms, because the culture is so surface bound and so interested in the immediate instead of into the all these other things that are more eternal and require more attention than most of us are willing to give. So, anyway, if you have any comments, we've got a couple minutes left here with Anna. It's 646-478-4847. You can always jump into the chat room or grab a hold of Val on the AIM account. And,
that's right.
Chime in with your questions. We'll be glad to pass them along there to Anna. And I guess what we've kind of touched on it a little bit, but I want to get into it a little more deeply here just to kind of clarify some things. So I'm going to recap just for my own understanding, is that if you look at Tantra not as the adjective in front of whatever it is you're doing, Tantra meditation, Tantric touch, whatever it is, but if you look at it as almost like a mode of awareness like we say in the United States, someone's going postal. If someone's going tantric, they're going into a state. They're going into a different consciousness than they have been basically dipped in their whole life. And their reference point for themselves shifts from the earthbound world with all their personal identity, all their stuff, to a much larger identity that is not bound by the earth. And it expands the way that they can see themselves when they come back to the ground and move around in the world. So what is it like for someone that goes through an experience with you before, during, and after, in terms of the way that they look at themselves and the way they function in the world? So before they're coming in, they're curious about this work, then they get on your table and they have their experience. What do you get back as far as, you know, from feedback from clients? What changes for them out in the world?
What changes? I mean, if you talk about massage or whole my session of Tantra, I mean, I do different technique. I do breathing technique. It's called yogic sensation technique. I do trans body movement when because body during the time become destructive and locked. And you see old people, they walk like very lacking. It's not normal. I mean, everybody do, but it's statistically it's normal, but it's not normal because
it's common.
Yeah,
I know. I like the word normal. It's common, but it's dysfunctional. but okay.
That's right, and I do stretching technique visualization of the energy center, and yes, I do massage. I do hypnosis like a trance. I try to people to they attach with them deeper inner, and activate the energy, vital energy. We call sexual energy because it's vital energy on the place with reproductive organs, why we call the sexual energy, but it's vital energy because other energy, when we talk about crown center, vision center, heart center, solar plexus center, it's blocked. They exist, but they're blocked. We, in this time of evolution, we're still in evolution. We base it on two energy centers, earth center between our private place and our legs, and vital energy center, two fingers under belly button. We call sexual energy because it's a reproductive organ. It what happened with energy, we all energy. If you start to think more frequency, we all energy, but it's all, again, level of energy. Energy go around and they stuck between two energy centers. It's why people so badly want sex, because its energy started pushing. It's become like air pressing their sexual organs. And our brain is just computer. Everything signals in our body, brain pick up. But brain, thanks God, scientists already find out, it's 90% brain just function. Some mm-hmm. brain function 97, 93%, but 90% our brain, we're 90% dead.
Well,
and
it sounds like what happens is it's very similar to when people work with Wilhelm Reich's work with orgone energy. I don't know if you heard of that, but it has to do with the release when someone has an orgasm. It almost as if basically the system becomes like rebooted. It becomes almost the younger. It becomes rejuvenated by that experience, where Eastern disciplines say never have an orgasm, but you only have so many, and every time you have one, you deplete your energy. You have to have good philosophies and then not so good ones. But anyway, I'm just saying that the sort of the cycle that you're painting for us here is that when someone comes to you for a session and for tantric therapy, that they're experiencing all these modalities on the table, and as a result of that, the system, whatever it is, in that person, in their memory, whatever it is, elevates their consciousness, so that when they go back second, third, fourth, fifth session over time, they're in effect raising that awareness each time they go. And so when they go out into the world, instead of going back into the muck and back into the same old patterns, there's almost like a they got kind of a life preserver on that keeps them kind of floating above all that stuff, so that even if they have to function in it, they're not as influenced by it anymore. And it's sort of like the analogy of a recovering alcoholic or anyone that's going through recovery, where they can walk among the users of that particular drug. In this case, the drug will be Western culture, but they're not dependent on it anymore, because they understand themselves at a much more fundamental level that's independent of what they would look at in their, on their IRS returns next week, and things that keep them kind of earthbound. So this has been an education for me.
Mm-hmm. People come here for, some people don't know where they go. They read sometimes on internet and a lot of like stuff, and everything is good, like some dominatrix do tantra, some dominant do tantra, some submissive do. I mean, it's people so different in their mind, and I do tantra on level what I want. First of all, I it's from the people mind, from people's spirit influence to my spirit and transform, and I try to sense what to give person, because everybody's so different, you cannot give everybody same.
Right. I want to ask you this, because it is, after all, Naked Soma, and people are probably curious. We've been talking with you for a while here. Do people on your table, male, female, do they experience orgasm? Do they go through all the whole, or is it basically a meditative experience and they go to sleep? I mean, what is the, in terms of the physical experience of Tantra on your table, is it part of the experience or accepted part of the experience that they have an orgasm, or is it not something that's even discussed, or you don't care?
You know, it's, I like to be open, but it's a lot of, you know, if people start to listening us who is not, who ignorant, people who jealous, people who, I mean, religious people. This is conversation probably, more open conversation need to be in small group that you can share. You don't give to everybody your bank account. You give information.
No, I'm just saying people might be curious because if they hear Tantra, they think party. And if you put party next to massage, the reputation, like I was saying, this is not something that I'm saying is just something you're saying. I'm just saying that the perception is that, well, this is just another example of, what they used to call a full release in the word. But so I'm just saying that in terms of the delivery of the service, when you're giving them this is a pretty special type of consciousness, is the physical orgasm something that is integral to this? Is it incidental? Is it basically a non sequitur? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I don't really care. I'm just saying for the curiosity of the listener, if they're going to go and pursue some work with you, you're going to be confronting them on some pretty deep, you know, issues here. Are they going to be, some people are going to be comfortable to have that happen, some people are going to be up a tree, and some people are going to, like you said, they're going to assemble the villagers and with the torches and run you out of town. So I'm just saying, I'm just curious from the outside looking in, is this something that is individualized person to person, or is it something that is part of the experience that you have to kind of tell them up front, look, you might experience being excited, you might experience being sexually stimulated, but if you have an orgasm or not, it doesn't matter to me. My job is to deliver you to the end.
I cannot, you know, if people come to me, sure, people some have some kind of want to relieve some tension, mental tension, emotional tension, on physical tension. Sure, people come to me. I cannot leave people. People come to me for relieve some tension, and I let them suffer. I cannot do this. First of all, some like, people call in and say, do you do sex? I said, you know, I do healing. I don't spread diseases. I don't want you get sick. I don't want to get sick myself. And I against when people, if people some do, they call Tantra and do sex, because this is kind of, I mean, I'm not judge people. People responsible what they do. And
sure.
If they're happy, they're happy. They get disease. It's what they get. But it's, I try to help people to get through, relieve the tension.
I'm all for relieving tension. This is, like I said, what most people are much more comfortable with doing is keeping the damn tension. What they want is a relaxed body in an uncluttered mind without any effort. And they want basically, just like you go to the car wash, they just want someone to come in and squeegee everything down and set them out and buff up the paint job and all that stuff and hose off the tires and off they go. So for the most part, people present in their physical form with all their emotional, you know, picadillos stuck in their, like I say, the issues are in the tissues. So as soon as you put your hand on someone's shoulder, their entire personal history rises up under your hand to meet
mm-hmm.
you.
Yep.
And that's why it doesn't matter if you're fully clothed and the person is sitting there with a mask on their head and you're 5 feet away. The minute you make contact with them energetically, the conversation begins. So, you know, if you have sex with them or not, I mean, it's almost as if they're trying to find out what you are instead of what they are. And I just wanted to clear the air on that at the end of the show, because I'm sure everybody's sitting there going, the Tantra, and it says more about, you know, their lack of understanding and their inability to kind of put this box of cereal on the shelf and know what they're getting. So I was just trying to give you an opportunity to clarify it. So we're going to wind down here. I just want to get give you one more chance to just kind of, what is the most common misconception? Maybe this is the most common misconception about your work. Do people associate you, you know, with okay, this is massage and sex, or this is massage and meditation, or this is massage and deep spiritual healing? I would say the average person coming in that has no background in this is going to think it's all physical. So what do you think is the most common misconception about your work?
First of all, it's probably that people need to be aware. Problem this is people want more physical. Again, I told you before, people want more physical because there's signals in our body, very strong signals in our body. We cannot hold it. Our body cannot hold it. Our nerve system can, our mind cannot hold it. We want to relieve it. And when you start to person, when you talk mind to the mind, also I do a technique, mind remote, if you know what I mean. Like mind, all your thoughts have energy. And energy, it has no space. It's free. And thought transformation of thought energy go to other person energy. It transform to the thought. If person come with one point, whatever, it's, you know, I try to help this person to understand on more level who he is. Most of people who come to me, maybe some people want sex, whatever, they come to me. And first of all, if some person asks me on telephone if I do sex, I say, I don't bring diseases in this world. I don't want, I want that AIDS disappeared, I want the other diseases disappeared. It's what I am for, to work with energy. Because what does mean AIDS, mean, what is all bacteria, all viruses? It's also energy. It's energy transformed to the form, but this is energy form, not belong to our system body. It's why they start to destroy our system. Mm-hmm. We need to find out the system to be around this energy and protect us, not to let them to attack us. You know, and
okay.
when person come on physical level, and I hold person hand, and communication of energy through my hand, through my mind, with slow talking, it start to transform in the person, and person start to be aware.
Okay, we got to wind down here, but I just wanted to thank you for answering all these questions. And if anyone's curious about finding out about Anna's work, you can go to annastherapy.com, and the website's there. You can contact her directly. And I want to thank you for educating us here on Naked Soma tonight.
Thanks, Anna.
Thank you very much.
Make sure
you
stay in touch. Okay, make sure you stay in touch because we have things to talk about.
Thank you very much. Very pleasure to talk with you guys. Very easy, very pleasurable.
Thanks,
I feel good. Okay, thanks, Anna. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Please welcome to call me, and we'll talk and we'll meet and make a party.
Oh, boy. All right.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye, Anna.
Have a good night.
You too.
Uh-huh.
All righty. We got a couple minutes,
yeah? Yeah, let's sashay over to the tipster.
Okay. I'll handle that. We've got the Jeb tip, which is Jeb in a can tonight.
Jeb in a can.
Yeah. Don't make me laugh. All right, wait a minute. Let me get the can Jeb here. My computer is running so slow. Here we go. Here it is.
Hey, everybody. This is Dr. Jeb up in snowy New Hampshire. We're finally getting a little bit of spring weather up here. Last week or so, it started to warm up. Well, hey, we're in the middle of a Philo week, and what is the one thing that, you know, well, I don't know. I want to ask the question. I'll just tell you. For Philos like myself, one of the things that's most important to us is longevity. We think about that, all the time. And for me, longevity, you know, a lot of it is out of your control. So what's in your control? Well, health, wellness, nutrition, those things are in our control. And what's the thing that we do every single day? Well, we should exercise every day. But one thing that we do all day every day is we eat. And so I'm reading a new book by Lou Schuler called The New Rules of Lifting for Women. And actually, he's got another book called The New Rules of Lifting, which is for everybody, I guess. And in this book, I love how he and his authors, co-authors have done. They've broken down nutrition to very, very simple, easy steps. And they kind of sum it up in three basic steps, which is you got to work on your metabolism. You got to do anaerobic exercise, like weightlifting, resistance training, sprinting. So you cardio junkies, you got to get off the treadmills or at least run faster on them and then take some breaks, build in recovery there. And you got to put the body weights down and pick up the big weights. And then there's got to be nutritional consistency. So, you know, you got to, it's good to shoot for, rather, I don't want to say you got to do, but it's good to shoot for consistent meal times, you know, anywhere from 4 to 6 meals a day. Small meals, you know, throw 2 or 3 big ones in there and the rest of them good size, lots of protein with each meal. And when you do that, you'll stoke that metabolism, you'll increase your lean body mass, which makes you burn fat more all the time, whether you're working out or not. And in general, improves your chances at longevity. So if you care about this stuff, this is a good way to do it, along with all the things that we recommend here at Naked Soma Radio and at somaspace.org and the things that we have been doing all along here with, you know, following the moon and paying attention to what you are. So until next week, I'll be myself, and you be yours, and be well. Bye-bye.
There you go. All right. Quick quote. Ready?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go.
Sex alleviates tension. Love causes it.
Hello. All right. And I will bid you adieu here on Naked Soma, Travel Light of the Darkness. We'll see you next week with more fun and games.
Ciao,
until
babies.
Then.
The test won't come again.
You will.
Don't speak to me. Long Talk Radio. Still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. Was a